Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to Team Friendship's fifth special episode where we review Netflix's Anne with an E. We're on episode 5. Today, I'm joined, as always, by my dear friends and co-host, Lauren.
Hello, friends.
And Mandalay.
What up, friends?
And our favorite special guest, we've only had one, but you're our favorite.
Right, take it.
Zoe is with us again.
Hey there.
So, I think we should just dive right into this potentially awkward episode. What do you think, Lauren?
Let's do it. This episode is titled, Tightly Knotted to a Similar String. So that's the Jane Eyre quote that they chose. I don't know. Do you know what part of the book that's from, Zoe?
It sounded really familiar, but I can't remember
that's
exactly.
That's okay. That's all right.
Sorry, I think it was Rochester that said that.
Okay.
About he and Jane. Yep.
Special. Well, this episode was directed by Patricia Razima. She's from Canada. She has directed 2 episodes of Mozart in the Jungle. I don't know. Have any of you guys watched that or heard it?
I've heard of it.
I've seen
previews for it.
I have a friend who was in that show.
What?
She knows Patricia.
Patricia.
Viola, I believe it is.
Nice.
So they recorded in New York. And she got
nice.
That's awesome.
That is really cool.
Patricia also directed Kit Kittredge in American Girl Story. Probably one of my favorite of the American Girl movies. And she also directed Mansfield Park. She directed other things. Those are the only ones I recognize. So that's what you guys get to hear about. Nice. Something interesting about her is she earned her Bachelor of Arts from Calvin College in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that she is still a reformed person, just based on other things I've read about mm-hmm. her. But I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is the director. Before we get into this, I want to know your guys' overall thoughts on this episode. So, I'm going to let Mandy go first. What is just overall thoughts on this episode?
I loved it.
All right.
No, it was the episode. I gotta read through your notes, Lauren.
That episode with the tea.
Yes, and I had been waiting for this because that was one of the things I remembered from watching the old one with you guys. So I was interested to see how that played out.
So I like this episode, because I feel like they, just liked it.
All right. Leah, what are your overall thoughts? I really liked this episode. I liked that there was a lot of contrasting of different things going on, and I enjoyed seeing that. I'll speak on that later.
Awesome, yes. Zoe?
I think this was actually one of my favorite episodes, just because so many different things happen, and we see a lot of things happen to Anne, and just the way she really is transitioning into womanhood, and this whole story has been about, coming of age, and it's kind of, obviously, with the stuff that happens in this episode is definitely pushes her towards adulthood. So, and then we just see a lot of background for minor characters that we haven't seen, I think, in other versions of Anne that I really loved. I really loved getting to know some of the characters better.
Awesome. Yeah, this episode is hands down my favorite episode of season one. Like, you guys, for everything you guys have said, and I cry at the end of this episode every time I watch it. So it's so good. There's so many good things and funny things that happen in this episode. So, Let's get in to this episode. I don't know if you guys want to touch on the very first scene. The spelling bee.
My only note was, Mr. Phillip is super creepy. Like,
yeah. So creepy.
It's super creepy. And I don't know how any, like, how none of the kids kind of notice, like, hey, there's, like, a something going on here with these words he's picking out. That's a little weird.
Creepy proposal.
Right? Yeah. Yes.
Super creepy.
It is just weird. That, I'm weird. That's what I wrote.
It's in her notes, people.
I love that Gilbert let her win.
Mm-hmm. It's just so sweet. He's a good kid. This Gilbert is a good kid.
I love him.
Yeah.
And he tells her congratulations and he's like, I'm sorry. I should have added me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. He's so clever.
Yes.
Like, if I ever have a son, I want him to be like Gilbert. This Gilbert.
He's gonna make him watch him and he has
brainwashing.
Or I'll tell Nora, like, wow. This is the kind of guy that you need to find right here.
He has to be called Gilbert.
Mm-hmm. His name must be Gilbert. Alright, so in this episode, Anne, quote unquote, becomes a woman for lack of, well, I just don't want to use the other term. If you guys want to use the term, you go for it, though.
All right.
Anne becomes a woman. Who wants to go first? Leah, I see you want to go first.
I just absolutely loved it. The first time I watched it, every little thing about it, I think... As a woman, I experience those same thoughts on a lesser level every month.
Yes, every month up until the present, I still experience
her complete horror that this is happening. Right. She's dying. I'm always assuming that I'm dying.
Yeah.
And then when Marilla tells her it's going to happen every month, like,
for years.
Yeah. That whole thing, and then Matthew.
To quote, Barn.
Yes. Yes. I don't know how much we get into this whole, because it kind of drags on into the next day in school, and I remember those.
Well, I can totally relate to the school scene of always being worried that you were going to bleed through, you know, and like people were gonna know, you know, like that was always my fear. And like we always had like this kind of code among the girls, like we'd always either like look at each other before we stood up, or you know, ask each other like, am I okay? Like that was the phrase, am I okay? And so
my friends would just say, can you check my butt?
Our friends were a little bit more
Yeah.
Okay. So I totally get that. That scene where Mr. Phillips, you know, calls on her to answer the question, and she's just so, like, concerned about herself that she doesn't hear what he says, and he's just, I don't like him. Like, he's a terrible teacher.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He does not at all handle children well.
How did you think that was going to go, Mr. Phillips, when you signed up to be a teacher? Right. You were going to have kids.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was a reminder to me, like, to be considerate of other people. Like, sometimes people might annoy us or whatever. You know, he's obviously annoyed by her, but he has no idea the whole situation.
Right.
Like, and I think I can tend to do that sometimes, too, where you're just... get upset really quickly and you don't really know the whole story. Yes. So we can learn from Mr. Phillips.
You see that, Lauren?
Thanks, Mandy. Did you have any more thoughts on that, Leah?
I love the quotation when she thinks she's dying at first. And she says, please plant some pink roses on my grave.
Yes.
How dramatic she is.
I heard that one out too. That was great.
What are your thoughts, Zoe?
So do you not like using the word period?
I don't care.
Does it make you nervous?
Period.
I didn't know what word you were referring to.
Is that what you were, is that your word you were referring to?
She's just going to say all the words.
Everything.
Monthly cycle.
Thank you.
We should have put a forewarning on this. Like, men just may want to leave the room. This could get awkward.
Well, it's awkward for men, but it's a normal thing for girls.
And I feel like in this day and age, it should just be like, come on. We talk about a lot of stuff nowadays. Yeah. Why is this still... Why is this more taboo than other things?
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Zoe?
No, it was just... It was interesting as I kind of thought about this, the fact that they included this in this Anne episode. I was kind of like, okay, so why did they add this? Was it just for shock and awe to add conflict and drama to, you know, to an episode kind of carries through, oh, yeah, something, you know, icky is happening to Anne and makes us all kind of uncomfortable, which, you know, grabs our attention. Or are they honestly looking at this and saying, we're telling a young woman's coming of age story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's kind of a big thing that happens in every young woman's life. So, you know, and how do you handle that? And I think it's interesting how even my initial reaction to kind of like, this is uncomfortable, you know, like, why would you feel like you had to add this into the storyline? They almost kind of talk about that when Anne, sorry to skip ahead, but when Anne's kind of talking later with her girls and they're all kind of talking about their first time or what they do and how they make it, they're nervous about, you know, going to school when they're on their period or their cycle. And they were like, well, it's a shameful thing. You know, we don't talk about this. It's a shameful thing. And Anne kind of turns around, you know, and again, kind of a blank space. Like, you know, she's not coming from the background they are with, you know, families that kind of indoctrinated them to think that this is like an embarrassing, shameful, womanly thing. And she's like, well, Marilla said that, you know, this is amazing that we can have babies, you know, like, isn't that, we can make a person. Isn't that beautiful? Like, isn't that a good thing? And you know, Anne, you're just, you know, but so it made me kind of question, all right, so yeah, I mean, I think there's always a time and a place for something, for modesty in your conversation, but is it something that we should be treating like, you know, initial reaction, it's a shameful thing, it's a horrible thing, and then teaching girls to think that way about their bodies.
Yeah.
So at least, at the very least, it feels like that's what the writers are trying to get us to ask ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with everything you just said. What are your thoughts, Mandy?
I think we should have her on every episode.
Yes.
She summarized very well.
I don't.
You need to start reading our books.
I said all that to Michael, and he's like, you should probably shorten that. All right, I'll work on it.
But I agree with you, and I don't know, I loved it just for just how it is, and it's the way it still is.
It's honest. Yeah.
I still cry.
Yeah.
I think I'm dying.
Yeah. I thought I could relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything about it is I could relate to it, and that's, as I'm thinking about, like, young girls watching this, they're going to be able to relate to that, you know, like, at some point, you know, and I don't know, like, it's just... I loved it too. Like as soon as she woke up in the middle of the night, I knew exactly what the problem was. Like I missed it the first episode. If you go back and rewatch, you can tell she's not feeling well during the spelling bee, and I missed that. But yeah, I just everything about it. And my favorite scene of this episode is the scene of her at the breakfast table.
Yes. I laugh loud every time. Yes.
Like, can I just go back to bed today? And I'm like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. Like, can I just go back to bed? Like, this is too much for me to handle.
You can tell the writers just totally know what they're talking about here. Because they went through all the stages.
Yeah.
Like, initial, like, panic, over-dramatic, like, I'm dying, to, like, I'm just dead. I don't want to think or do anything. I don't want to eat. I don't want to live today. So I'm just going to go back to bed. To like, I'm gonna bite your head off right now. And everyone's
Oh my god,
sassy, just.
That was so me at that age.
Yeah,
I feel so bad for my mom because I totally did stuff like that to her.
To the end, and it's all over. I'm sorry, I overreacted.
Yeah,
I won't be that emotional next time.
Like the next time,
totally.
Yeah,
sure you won't, Charlie.
Yeah.
To my mother.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I don't know why you don't just have a stash of chocolate for when this happens. Like, yeah, because that makes it all better. It helps.
It does help.
I just love Ruby's little
meltdown.
Yes. Yes.
I'm still up. What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I love Ruby. She's my favorite.
She's so pitiful.
I'm not a woman. In a cute way.
Yes.
It'll happen, sweetie.
Can't ever take it back.
And then, like Anne says, well, I would gladly give you mine because this is not exciting.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry, side note. When Casey, our younger sister, saw an ad in a magazine for a pad, and it was like a roller coaster, like the pad was on a roller coaster, and she's like, I want to ride that ride. I'm like, no, you know. She was like, she was young. I want to ride that ride.
No, you don't.
But you will.
Oh my goodness. That's great.
Yes.
So I thought it was curious. I found that quotation pulled out of Jane Eyre. That's the title of this episode.
Oh, good job.
And so I'll just read it.
Yeah.
It says, I have a strange feeling with regard to you. As if I had a string somewhere under my left ribs, tightly knotted to a similar string in you. And if you were to leave, I'm afraid that cord of communion would snap, and I have a notion that I take to bleeding inwardly. As for you, you'd forget me. I just thought it was interesting that that bleeding part was in there.
Yeah, when I first read the title, I was like, what? How does this work?
Right.
But then the more I thought about it, now that I hear that, like, it just relates to a lot of things that happen.
It does.
Yeah, in this episode. So many different things. So, it's pretty awesome.
Very well done again, writers.
Yeah.
So amazing.
All right, let's move on to Gilbert and his dad. So in this episode, we actually get to see Gilbert's dad for the first time and kind of learn more about that situation. I have a question that I've been thinking about. So do you guys think that Gilbert is kind and polite in spite of his dad being sick or because his dad is sick?
I mean, I don't remember, do they, like, say how long his dad has been sick?
I don't remember.
Well, it's obviously been they went out on a trip. He'd been gone for a while.
I'm just curious because that would help answer that, because, like, is this something he's dealt with his whole life?
Right. Yeah. It's a mixture of both.
To be honest,
I mean, his dad's obviously a very kind person, so he would have raised him to be a kind, thoughtful young man, but at the same time, he's had a mature beyond what, you know, his peers have experienced. Which has had to make him see things differently.
Right. I thought it very interesting how he totally could be, you know, angry and, but he's not. It's just interesting to me that they chose to take it in this direction.
I rather got the impression that Gilbert both loved his dad and felt burdened by him. And I thought they did that very well, because it was never obviously, you know, explicitly said, like, oh, dad, you know, I just want to go to school. But, you know, you see that in the moments where he's running around the house and he's getting ready for breakfast and he's, you know, kind of quick runs in there, puts down dad's breakfast, wants to just kind of jump out and get stuff ready. But, you know, he hears him and it's like a hesitation. And I sort of mentioned this earlier, but it reminds me of the story A Monster Calls. It's a book published in 2011 by Patrick Ness, and it deals with a young boy whose mother is terminally ill, and he doesn't really have anyone else, no one else close in his life that he can really turn to or help guide him through this emotionally, and so he kind of creates this imaginary monster who tells him stories, and at the end, with lessons that are a little interesting. You're not quite sure if it's to help him or to hurt him. But at the end, he tells him he's going to tell him his story. That the boy needs to tell his story and finish it. Because this whole time, the boy's been dreaming of a story where he loses his mom. Like, they're, you know, over a cliff or whatever, and he lets go. And then you kind of find out at the end that, sorry to reveal this, but you kind of find at the end that the boy just, he kind of wants it to end. Mm-hmm. He just, you know, it says, in between, like, purgatory state of life where his mom isn't going to live, and his mom isn't dying, mm-hmm. isn't passed away yet. So he's just struggling because he doesn't know what to do because mm-hmm. he just kind of wants it all over. He yeah. just wants it to finish. And I feel like that is just such a similar thing that Gilbert's going through. You know, he's still really young. He's still a kid. Mm-hmm. And of course you don't want to lose your parent. But he's in this stage where he's taking care of his parent, you know, mm-hmm. this person who was supposed to provide for him, and now he's right. in that state, and yet they're just kind of frozen in time in their life. So, yeah. Sorry to get deep there, but...
No!
It just reminded me of that, and made me really feel for Gilbert, because, I mean, how does yeah. a kid kind of mm-hmm. deal with that, even the guilt of that complex feelings mm-hmm. of wanting to be free of it and not wanting it to end?
Especially since he's the only one for his dad. Like, his mom is gone, he doesn't have any siblings, yeah. and so, yeah, that's an immense responsibility. Right.
And that seems like a similar, I've seen that in different friends that I know that have been mm-hmm. caregivers for someone who's terminally ill. It definitely comes to that point where you know that, and especially if they're a believer, you know that,
right.
okay, there's going to be relief from this, and you hate to say the words, I'm ready for them to die, but mm-hmm. it comes to a point where they're suffering so much, and yeah. the burden is so great that you're just waiting for that moment where they can be at peace, and right. you know, because you are just frozen in life, like you said, you yeah. can't really do anything. Yeah, so that definitely puts things into perspective mm-hmm. for Gilbert. And that would be curious to know how long his dad had been mm-hmm. sick.
Yeah,
I imagine that. Where's his family?
I don't know.
Do they tell that in the book?
I think in different versions there have been different. You know, how, yeah, kind of different. Because okay. I think in the book, right, they don't really give you a lot of information about Gilbert's background.
They don't give
background.
You very much. His dad is in the book
yeah.
briefly. I think they just mention him. Because in the next episode we get into Marilla's story.
Right.
And that is hinted at in the book.
Really? Mm-hmm. I was wondering about that as well.
But this storyline of his dad being sick, to my knowledge, I mean, at least in the Anna Green Gables story, yeah. it's not there. I don't know about in the sequel books, if that happens.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know where his mom is or what.
I mean, he said he's the last.
The last.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like, his last child?
Like, did everybody die? Like,
I got that impression from what he was saying in this story, at least, yeah. that he was one of, there were many of them,
yeah.
and he's the last surviving child.
Yeah.
Where were they?
Yeah, Alberta.
Cherry.
Yeah, Alberta. Yeah, hopefully, which, exciting.
Oh,
we get
yes.
a season two.
Yay.
So hopefully we will
so
get
excited.
To know more in season two.
We better.
I am so excited, guys.
We need answers. Yeah, but we're going to have to wait. We have to wait like a year.
Why does it come? It'll come out in the spring, I think.
Fast. Netflix.
I don't know. I could be wrong. I know they're planning to film it in the fall, so I don't know how long it takes.
Hurry up, Netflix.
Yes, let's do this. Mandy, do you have thoughts on Gilbert and his dad?
I have all of the same thoughts, okay. as mentioned.
I just, the part of this episode where Mrs. Kincannon comes, she's the one that takes care of his dad. Mm. While he's at school, she comes and he's not at school, and she's like, aren't you going to school today? And he says, I feel like I have to stay close, which he, you know, he's like, I know that something's going to happen here. My grandpa passed away when I was 14, and he was very sick toward the end of his mm-hmm. life. And I had that same feeling. I just remember the day he died. I didn't go to school because I just knew, like, I don't know. I just had that feeling, mm-hmm. you know, that I needed to stay close. Anyway, that was just a personal tidbit. Just reminded me of that. So let's talk about Matthew in the dress shop.
He was adorable.
Yes.
So adorable. So cute.
I love that he ended up buying all those, were they boots?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I bought like two or three pairs of boots or something, and then polish to go with it.
In general, though, I don't know how he shops, because the way those guys lit up when they saw him just kind of loitering, and they're like, all right, we're going to upsell this guy. We're going to just sell him all these boots mm-hmm. that he doesn't need. Let's do it.
He just tries to get out of situations with saying the fewest words. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so exactly. He just lets people put things in his hands.
I can relate to that, though. Tell us.
Some purchases are just made because of pressure.
That almost happened to me in Tijuana. I never went back there. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but...
Just saying, every time I go in to B&N,
they're closing all the stores.
That's right. And that...
So you need to go back in one more time.
They almost got me to buy $50 worth of tea. They just kept putting things out there. You need this and you need this. And I had just got back from Ukraine where tea is like a dollar for a whole huge thing. So I'm like, well, this is nice loose leaf tea. This is going to be fun. $50! And I almost bought it because I didn't want conflict. I didn't want to have to say, no, I can't afford this. My husband will kill me for spending $50 on tea.
B&N always tries to talk me into becoming a member, and I think it would be lucrative for me, but I already have like 3 to 5 books sitting up on the counter, and then you add in the price of a membership. I don't have that kind of money.
How much is a membership?
I think it's like $50.
Wow.
But that's for the year.
What you get?
And or maybe it's 25.
Books out of that.
I get a pony. It's 25 or 50. Oh no, I'm sorry.
That's a lot of money.
But
I was thinking like $9.99.
But you get coupons.
Well, you better get coupons.
Yeah. And
I keep my $50 and you keep your coupons and we'll call it even.
You get coupons plus you get a discount on stuff. Like a member discount.
Wow.
Yeah, but is it worth more than $50
at the B&N? I mean, I don't know. Every time they explain it to me, it seems as though it is.
You never know what we're talking about.
And I'm not totally sure if it's that much. I'm sorry, B&N, if this is false advertising.
I'm not sorry. I don't know how to say that.
We're not advertising for them. It's Tijuana. Starbucks is closing all the stores.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Rude or evil.
Matthew, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we feel you, Matthew. Mm-hmm. You and your boots. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Matthew is confronted by his past at the dress shop, guys.
That was so well said. I'm
sorry. Thank you.
It's beautiful.
He runs into Jeannie.
Who made him cry. She made him cry.
Way to go, Jeannie.
Seriously? It's Matthew.
I just love that whole back story.
Mm-hmm. I was wrong. It's 25.
Little
continue.
Matthew was so cute. Adorable. And I could believe that that kid turned into the current Matthew. Like something about
it did
him.
Did not help my like heartstrings that get pulled every time Matthew does anything on the show.
Right?
He was a sweet little boy too.
Matthew. And now I just want Michael to give me buttons. So
right. It's so sweet. That he was so attentive and found that she liked buttons. Mm-hmm. And right when he cut his button off of his dress shirt, oh my goodness. I can't.
Matthew's a sweetheart. Well, and like you were saying, he's observant. Like, he's so observant of Anne, like when he's telling Jeannie about Anne, that he just talks about like how she's, you know, just everything about her that you know that he only knows because he just watches her and listens to her. And that was just so heartwarming to me that he has taken the time to love this little girl.
And still, he still has that torch for her. Mm-hmm. You can tell.
Yeah.
And then at the end.
We love you, Matthew.
He was a little nervous when he started getting the chest pains before he got on his horse. Can't do this.
You know, okay, so she made him cry because she asked about his older brother, Michael.
Yes.
And I really want to know more about the Michael Cuthbert story in season 2. So
yep.
I'm really hoping they add that in.
Me too.
How many times now have we kind of alluded to him? There's been a few.
Several.
Yeah, there's been multiple times.
I think in
the
first or second episode, Anne is walking up the stairs and they pause on that picture of him. And so you see that there were 3 siblings. And then I think this is the first episode where they.
So I feel like it's coming, right?
Name.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a story coming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're kind of building up.
There
to
better
that.
Be a story coming.
Mm-hmm. When she's talking to him about that, though, and they do like the close up on Matthew's like eyes that he's tearing up. I mean, what an actor, first of all.
Right.
So like, there's just so much emotion, and then just all of it together, it was almost too much. I couldn't do it. I just can't. Mm-hmm.
First of all, I like, last thing, I loved his, like, the panic, like, cut to the corsets, cut back to Matthew, cut back to the corsets stuff, cut back to Matthew, cut to this pretty, really cute dress shop worker, cut back to Matthew, and he's like, I'm out.
Yeah. Have to get out of here. Can't breathe.
Yes. Good editing.
I think at one point, they even, was this episode where they show the, like, they cut to a wedding dress and then to her or something. I don't, I just remember thinking, like, so clever that they did all of the, I don't know. I feel like the editing was really on point for this episode.
It was an important episode for them. They put it all in.
They did.
Yep. All right. Anne gets to have tea with Diana. A grown-up tea. Yes,
tea. Mm.
This tea. All right, Maddie, what are your thoughts on the tea? You said that this is what you were looking most forward to.
It was, because I was interested. Because I don't remember it being that elaborate in the old one. Like, I remember, like, whatever, but I didn't remember, like, an entire scene like that, am I right, from the old one?
That was a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm.
Was it?
Yeah.
I feel like the only part I remember is Diana puking.
Yeah, they don't get, like, really crazy, like, and I don't think Anne.
She didn't get drunk.
Anne doesn't get drunk.
Just Diana,
because Diana ends up drinking all of it, and then you can tell she's getting, like, kind of sleepy, and then she just says, "I have to go home," and she doesn't feel good, and then she pukes in the bushes.
Okay, yes. Well, the whole I knew what was happening the whole time. I was like, I remember this, and I'm just watching, and they just keep drinking more of it, and I'm just like, oh heavens! And then, and then they go upstairs, and they're playing with Marilla's clothes and stuff. And
I think that is why I even noticed the editing more on this episode, because of all the blurry, like, kind of in and out, trying to
So I was entertained by it for sure, but. Very entertaining. Yes.
When her mother comes in, she's like laying on the floor.
Yeah.
Oh, they're just all like, I love being a woman. Diana just kept saying bosoms over and over.
Okay, but. Come on, like, I didn't need alcohol to act like that.
I was going to say,
like, some of that, I was like, all right, these girls are just on sugar. Like, they don't even need.
Yeah, the first time I saw that episode, I was like, I acted like this as a child. Sometimes I act like that as an adult, and I don't need alcohol.
It made me think of you and Leah and some of your friends.
Well, you're
I witnessed
senior,
some things
your senior
back in
class
the day.
Almost got kicked out of something on your senior trip because they thought they were drunk, but they were just ridiculous.
We were just being stupid.
Like, so we obviously don't need alcohol.
No, we can have a good time with just water and, you know, candy.
I mean, I definitely held a girl's hair as she threw up in the bushes at summer camp, Christian summer camp. She wasn't drunk. She just had too much
sugar. She ate too much ice cream.
Okay. She was just too happy. Mm-hmm.
So.
Hey, I have that video of Kara, our cousin, at
yes.
camp. And that was Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Something to be said about sugar and red dye.
That was my thought when your mom came in. Like, how does she even know that they're drunk?
Right. I thought the exact same thing. The only part where you're kind of like, all right, there's something off these girls is where, like, they're supposed to be standing there in front of them. They're, like, both like,
yeah, I can't say that.
They can't, like,
their eyes are droopy.
Teetering on their
feet. There are signs. Maybe she could smell.
She probably could smell it. I mean,
I'll
see it. But still.
They plus, like, Diana probably never acts like that. You
around
know,
her.
She's so prim and proper.
Where is her mother from? She has a different accent.
I think they're just proper.
Oh.
She just has a proper
accent.
Like
she
has the dad does too.
On. Really?
Is that a thing? Because then I need to, like, cultivate
you work on that.
Proper
you can,
accent.
Actually. You can work. You can go to, like, voice acting school and learn how to
next
make your voice sound however you want.
We will sound totally different.
That's right. You have to decide. Figure out who is who.
Do you have anything about the tea?
All I wrote down was bosoms, LOL.
She really did write bosoms,
yeah,
LOL.
Yeah, it's in my notes.
On the paper. Not even in, like, a phone or something.
This is my favorite episode.
Yeah. I think I might have to be on that team. Team episode 5.
Team episode 5. Seriously, this episode, guys. All right, before we move on, anyone else have any other thoughts on this? On this specific tea? Because we'll get into the aftermath in a few minutes.
I thought the table was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. I kind of want to know where she got it all.
Right? Yeah.
How long did it take her?
Yeah.
Because she just found out that morning.
How can we learn to prepare for a cinematic tea that
quickly? Magic?
Can we have grown up teas, guys? Because
I would come to your grown up tea.
I literally just told Joey I want to buy a set of really nice teacups so I can have tea parties.
I'm coming in a poofy dress with a big hat.
I don't know if people still do this.
Obviously, yes.
I mean, do people still do stuff like this? Have tea? See, I'm not part of that world. I want to be part of that world.
Why can't we make it that way? We could start a movement in our city.
I said I went into tea time.
I don't think we're alone.
Russian tea, you know. There's tea houses in New York where you go and just have fancy tea.
Yeah.
Guys, when we open up our bookstore, we could have
tea time.
A tea house.
/ tea house. Let's do it. Oh, man. That would be the best place ever.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend all my time there.
You'll be working there.
This is all like a dream for us.
Okay.
Someday.
Don't tell anyone.
So I really enjoyed, any time that Marilla and Rachel are together, I'm just loving their relationship and their friendship. So when they're together canning, whatever they're canning, making jam or something,
it looks delicious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yum, yum.
And so I'm talking specifically about when Rachel's husband comes in and that interaction between them. Mm-hmm. And you can just kind of see Marilla kind of looking over her shoulder at them. And at first, it seems like she's kind of uncomfortable with the situation because they're kind of being a little bit intimate with each other.
They're being flirty.
Yeah.
They're being cute, though.
They have 10
kids. It's not, like, inappropriate. Right. Yeah, they have 10 kids, you know, and, like, which is funny to me. But then, I don't know, I also kind of got the feeling that Marilla's a little bit envious of Rachel's life. Like, she has this husband, and she has 10 children, and consequently probably has several grandchildren as well. I'm assuming we don't hear about them at all, but did you guys get that impression that she just almost wishes that her life were a little bit different?
This episode and the next episode, I felt a lot of the regrets that Matthew and Marilla might be experiencing because of the situation with their brother and all of that. It does seem like a running theme. It's what could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just why I need more answers. What happened?
It's funny because that makes a lot more sense now. I guess I always looked at it and I thought she just looks kind of uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like she doesn't know what to do.
Should I leave the room?
Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, guys, settle down. I'm here too.
Right. But I also got the feeling that she appreciated they felt that way about each other after ten kids
and they still love each other and can have fun in their relationship.
Yeah.
Well, now we have to talk about the breaking of the friendship.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Yes. I don't know what you're talking about. Anne and Diana are forced to separate.
Oh, yes, that was this episode.
Eternal farewell.
I forgot.
It was so sweet to me how they showed that Marilla was equally as upset about the injustice that was being served.
Yeah, and she even tried to, like, lessen the sentence, like, let's just try 2 weeks. Let's do 2 weeks and see, you know, we should punish them.
And she was taking all the blame, which I felt like was big for her because she's very much about appearances. Mm-hmm. But
you know, like how would Anne know? Like which bottle? I mean, she didn't label it, so.
Mm-hmm. Honest mistake.
The whole thing. I think it's meant to be comical, but it just takes a turn, and I'm just like, whoa, here now.
We don't need to be losing friendships over this.
I find it interesting how, like, Mrs. Barry refers to Anne as, you know, your charge, you know, like, she's not your daughter or your charge. And in episodes before this, everyone refers to Anne as, you know, your charge or your, you know, recently acquired, I don't know, like, they don't ever refer to her as a person, like,
right.
And it just, I don't know, just like, just how orphans are treated or were treated, I guess. I don't know. It reminded me of that book that I just read. Well, Leah, you just read it too. Echo. Which again, everyone and their everyone mom needs to read this to book. Read Echo. There's a part of the book that deals with orphans and how they were treated improperly just because they were orphans, and it had nothing to do with anything else. And they were actually very polite, you know, little boys, and because of the way they were dressed or whatever, people mistreated them. And I feel that's how Anne is, you know. They're just like, well, she's an orphan, so I just can't allow my daughter to associate with her. And it's just, it's upsetting to me, and that's all I have to say about that. What, do you guys have thoughts on that? I don't know. I just, when she was saying that about Anne, it upset me. But later on in the episode, Gilbert's dad refers to Anne. He's like, oh, are you the Cuthbert's new charge? So maybe that's just the way they talked about people back then, but because he totally didn't mean it in a bad way.
No, he's really sweet to her.
I think that the concept of adoption and that you are truly are now a family member, you know, you're a Cuthbert, not just a Cuthbert charge.
Right, yeah.
You know, I think it was just so new and foreign, and nobody was talking about it in the way we have literature and movies and, you know, just information out there now to discuss that and know that there's a better way to treat people and talk about adoption. I mean, even my well-meaning people like Mr. Blythe don't, you know, that's probably a hard concept to kind of wrap your brain around. Like, oh yeah, they took you in.
But the whole mentality of someone is different or less fortunate, so they must be bad, and they must be someone to look down upon. And it's something that is still very much alive and well in our culture, even though we're more enlightened.
Unfortunately, it's like, you're different than I am, so you're less than me.
Right. And because of just all the talk human, about,
or, you know, just...
Yeah, you lived in the asylum, and you're, you know, looking down on Anne because she... or any orphan in that time period because they didn't grow up with parents. I don't know
like
how
that was their decision. Something you know, that you can, like they chose that.
Yeah,
that
choice.
Yeah. Right. And that's, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that baffles me to this day, that stuff like that still goes on. And it's, you know, in so many different areas of our culture. And it's just like, you are literally being unkind to these people about something that they have no control over.
Right.
Like, it's just, doesn't make sense to me.
No, not at all.
But yeah, this the breaking of the friendship is very heartbreaking, and it's very dramatic the way they do it, but I think it's a big deal for them, you know, like even in the grand scheme of life, and we know that it's going to get better, but they don't, and it's the end of the world for them.
Yes. I would be upset too.
Yeah, I love, it was sweet how Anne is shocked to learn that Diana loves her. You know, how she's just like, you love me, you know, like I knew you liked me, but I didn't know that you could ever love me. And that was just so sweet. And I'm pretty sure that's in the book, too.
I was going to say, that's in the Megan Follows version, right? Isn't it? Like,
I don't remember.
Nobody's ever told familiar. Me they love you before. But somehow that hit me deeper this time.
Yeah.
You're like, nobody's told this kid ever that they love her.
Yeah.
How, what a simple thing to say. And then how strange to never have someone tell you that until you're like, what, 12 or 13?
Yeah, for sure. With that and Marilla, like, hesitantly trying to comfort Anne after she wakes up in the middle of the night were two moments. Like, oh, this poor girl just needs some love. She needs some love.
Yeah, I just love the line where Diana says, we will forever be strangers living side by side.
It's just so dramatic.
I will add, though, every time they're about to cut each other's hair, no, reach underneath.
Yes.
Go for the hair underneath.
Your mom's going to find out. You're going to get in trouble again.
Not the top. Not the top.
Oh, it's so true. So Anne finally meets Mr. Blythe. Because she has to take Gilbert his books, and she's so like, I can't believe I have to do this. Why me? And to me, it was almost this Pride and Prejudice moment where she's just like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this. And then, like, no one comes to the door right away because you know, Mr. Bly's trying to get to the door, and then she opens the door, and she's just like, it's like when she finally learns what's going on, yeah. It's almost like she's just like, oh my goodness, like
her wind goes out of her sails.
Her attitude mm-hmm. definitely changes.
Although I feel like secretly she did want to take him his books. Secretly.
Maybe. Yeah, because there's a moment later when Diana says something about her. You go visit. Or is that in the next episode? She said, you visit.
Yeah, I think it was the next
Gilbert
episode.
Gilbert every day. And she's
like, wow. I have to do that.
Yes.
Don't think I enjoy this.
Right.
Can't have anyone be thinking that.
I couldn't believe she made... Oh, man. I cringe when he comes to the door. Poor Mr. Gilbert. Poor Mr. Blythe. Poor Mr. Blythe is standing there. And he's sick.
I know.
And he's like,
winter weather.
You're like, sticking Anne. What did you do?
Yeah. Way to go, Anne.
Just been patient. Maybe just sneak the door open a little bit and put them inside.
Just set the book
on the doorstep.
Down.
Yeah. Yeah. Just gonna get cold. What?
She wanted to see
she
Gilbert.
Didn't, yeah, she didn't know. Was right.
She wanted to see Gilbert.
She did.
It's true. What I love, though, Gilbert isn't embarrassed that Anne has seen his dad. He's not ashamed of his dad being sick or trying to hide it. He doesn't talk about it. I think he just doesn't want it. He like, doesn't want people to feel sorry for him. Or because, like, when he's at school, you know, when he first comes back to school, I don't remember what episode it is, when all the boys are like, "Is your dad better?" And he just responds, "We're happy to be home." You know, he doesn't say anything about it.
I think it's interesting because you sort of see that Mr. Blythe is almost keenly aware that he's a burden or that he's embarrassing.
Right.
Because he, you know, he's like, oh, I'll just go back inside. Let me help you, Dad. I'm fine. You stay out here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he doesn't want Gilbert to have to feel like he's different than the other kids.
I love that there's... I mean, we learn more in the next episode, but in this episode, there's definitely a hint that Mr. Blythe and Marilla have some sort of history. Because he asks Anne, like, you know, how's Marilla? Is she as feisty as ever? You know, tell Marilla I say hi, you know, all this stuff. So I was like, yeah, there was something there.
I think it's funny, too, like, because Marilla is a little redhead, and so is Anne. Family thing.
Mm.
You know, they like the red
type. Yeah, because he was like, oh, and that's what
they've
said.
Got a type.
They have a type. I forgot that he says that about her. He's like, oh, what wonderful red hair, you know, like, whereas, you know, when Rachel first sees her, it was, oh, well, look at that red hair, you know.
Well, and Gilbert, like, initially, first time he saw her, like, thought she was so cute and loved her.
Those Blythe men. We need more of them in this world. So, Anne gets a dress.
Oh, my
goodness. This scene, every time.
Oh,
every
my eyes
time.
Out.
I sob.
Yeah. Every time.
Yes. I watched it. Well, I watched it yesterday to write notes, and I tried really hard. I was like, I'm not going to cry. And I just let it go. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give into this moment.
How can you not cry?
So sweet. I definitely cried. I was all by myself, just sitting there. Well, technically laying there. Watched it before I went to sleep, but I cried really hard.
Yeah? Because it was so sweet. And, like, Matthew is just so excited to give it to her. And, like, he, you know, he just loves her so much and he wants to make her happy and...
I love Matthew. Yes. The build-up to it as well is you're just seeing Matthew's heart throughout that whole episode and watching him watch Anne go through this traumatic moment, and his first thought is, she needs this dress with puff sleeves. Like, I'm going to do this for her.
Well, the girls talk about kind of like their dad's kind of treated them special, you know, after they went through it. And it's sort of like, you know, Diana talks about, well, my didn't her dad give her something? Or he said he's making my way for me. He wants to send me to boarding school.
Yeah. Like he opens the door.
Opening the doors for me or something like that. And it's sort of like, your dad is an important part of this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matthew knew that instinctually. Yeah. Like, he knew that this was an important thing and that he should make it important and positive for her.
Right, yeah.
We need more Matthews in this world, too.
We need more Matthews. But yeah, I love this. this when Anne is like, yeah, I'm not going to be emotional next time. There are far bigger worries in this world. And I'm thinking, you're right. There are far bigger worries. And you've learned that in this episode. But you are going to be emotional. Yeah.
And then she follows that, there's bigger worries in this world with, can we be a little bit late to church so everyone sees me walk in? All right.
Yes. So sweet. I love it.
The ending is just, it's perfect to me because it's sort of like that quintessential, Anne of Green Gables moment you get in the old series and in some of the even older versions of it. Where it's just, cozy, happy family that's been brought together. But it's so much more, it's so much deeper. There's so much more dimension to it when you see them all piling in the sleigh and cozying up to one another. And they're happy and they're going off to church with new puff sleeves.
Right.
And you realize they've gone through a lot in this episode. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them has gone through something. Actually, that was probably the moment where I started tearing up, more than just receiving the dress, but was the dress and the family around her and the fact that she'd been through something in this episode. There's traumatic, lots of traumatic things, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. And she still, at the end of the day, had a family that loved her. And you could see she felt it in that moment. So,
I agree.
Well done. Strong ending.
So good. I just want to say, I at some point would like to make one of those Kindred Spirit cross stitch things that she was.
You can make me one. So I would take one.
I know, that was really cute.
I have many Kindred friends that would do that.
I've never cross stitched before, but I think I can learn. My mom.
I did it when I was younger.
Mom does everything, so
Next
craft. It's not hard. Like it's pretty. I mean, it's kind of like.
Next time we have our tea together. At our tea party.
We'll have a tea and
we will have a Kindred Spirit cross stitch.
Can we have tea like they did on Anne with her?
No other way will we have it. We have to dress up too.
Tea. Of course, it's included.
I don't know.
I want a table full of foliage and new tea.
All right.
Just cut off an evergreen tree and pop it in.
Dragon. Kind of what it looked like
at Christmas time.
It's adorable.
I got this branch from outside, and there's a bird's nest.
She's matured a little bit since the hat episode.
Yes,
she was a little bit more tasteful than the hat, but I was a little worried for her.
Any additional thoughts?
So, how did everyone think tightly knotted to a similar string worked for the episode?
For me, I got the biggest connection with it was between Matthew and Jeannie because she's a seamstress and with the buttons and they have this connection. That's what I got out of it. What about you, Lee?
I mean, it definitely made sense in the perspective of Anne and Diana.
That's for sure. For sure.
That's what resonated the most.
Yeah.
There's a lot of strings, though, that are...
I feel like it was kind of laced throughout the whole thing.
Sort of like an embroidery,
Like a tapestry.
Like a tapestry.
Like a cross-stitch.
Like a cross-stitch.
Very cursed. Of Kindred strings.
How do these people do this?
There's so much creativity in this show.
We named this episode, and then... we put it throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, and then, the editing, and, it's just, this show is a work of art.
This episode or the next with the winter scenes, gorgeous. So beautiful.
All
the contrasting with the white background is
You know how hard
gorgeous.
It is to shoot white background as
I don't, but I bet you do.
Oh, it is incredibly hard. I mean, everything just whites out. You have no dimension unless you have people who know what they're doing.
So it's like a work of art every time they show the outdoor scenes.
Just the landscape. It's just, it's beautiful.
And it adds so much more light so you could, bleach out your actors. And everything is just, it's perfect.
Well done. For all the people that will be listening.
So we'll talk more about that in episode 6.
All right.
Well, guys, let's give our contact info so that people know how to get a hold of us if they choose to do so.
You can email us, teamfriendshippodcast@gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram @teamfriendshippodcast.
We're also on Facebook, You can find us at www.facebook.com/teamfriendshippodcast.
We're also on Twitter at 3friendspodcast. That's the number 3.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
You can find me on Twitter. My name is at Gracie Firstborn.
I am probably most frequently on Instagram, and that is Leah Raniel, L-E-A-H-R-A-N-J-E-L. I need an easier name.
You can also find me on Instagram at Mandy Malay.
Zoe, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Lauren.
Yes!
At zcook501.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to check you out and friend you.
Do it.
I'm already friends with
you. Be my friend.
I'm already friends with you.
Well, just defriend me and we'll do it over
we'll
again.
We'll redo friend it. Yeah. Have a ceremony. A special tea party.
A special tea party for this.
Yes.
I'm going to get a dress. Great. All right, folks, we will see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, bright red drinks taste twice as good as any other color.
Pauses, Leah. Closes the window.
Sorry, there's a dripping noise that was
that's okay.
Going on.
Great.
You can edit that out.
I'm going to.
You don't have to edit it out.
This is a family-friendly podcast.
It's funny.
That is a mistake.
Yes.
Wow. Do you guys have thoughts on that? Anybody?
And
like that dog right now.
It's coming through something.
And it's just, yeah, it just.
You're gonna be okay, Lauren. I'm having a moment.
Taking a moment.
Everybody. All right.